if you're innovating, creating, or making a difference.
This show is for you. Welcome to Over Coffee. I'm Dot Cannon. Here on Over Coffee, we talk with artists and innovators about the process of changing the world in terms of what they do.
People and a lot of the kids were going, okay, the book is fine, but we want a video game.
The theme of the game is we are made of stardust that was once in the body of Albert Einstein and the last T-Rex.
It's just like with any game, you play a game, you get a skill, as you get better at the game by practicing more and more.
They're going through these quests, they're saying, oh, I know that answer, oh, I know that answer too.
What if kids could learn science, math, history, and a lot more through a time travel video game? That's the inspiration behind The Beamer, a new multiplayer game scheduled for release in March 2018. But this is not just any video game.
I was retired. I'm a physicist, and I decided that I wanted a better way of teaching science.
Connecticut-based physicist Dr. Peter Solomon started with 12 great reasons to create the Beamer.
Sally and I have 12 grandchildren, and so the easiest thing was to use them as models in the books.
You know, his grandchildren were asking him things about what he did, so he wrote a book that would try to make a fun story out of it.
As a physicist, there are so many wonderful stories about how the world works that I wanted to be able to teach that story.
What first fired your imagination? How did physics become magical for you?
Well, I went to City College. I had a practical plan to be an engineer, and I was in the physics classes, and every time I asked an interesting question, they said, well, this is for the engineers. We don't have time to go into that. So that's how they enticed me to become a physics major. And it's been an absolutely wonderful career. I've loved every bit about it. It's been working that's been totally fun for all of these years.
And so his mission began, to share that sense of fun through storytelling.
So the decision was made to write a book.
I thought it was a great idea. And when he wrote the book, I originally said to him, if I can understand it, a fifth grader will understand it.
What happened was that Sally helped. My two children helped write the book.
I helped him, of course, a lot of proofreading and some ideas.
Professionally, Sally, a.k.a. Mrs. Peter Solomon, is a speech and hearing therapist. Her background enabled her to work on the game from a different perspective.
Even though I had science and college and all, I was not into this kind of scientific ability and understanding. So it worked out well because I was able to say, hey, you know, kids aren't going to know that.
And the grandchildren would continue to be a creative catalyst.
So I picked four of them, and they are now part of the book. They are the four characters in the book. When we finished the book, not finished, but in good enough condition, I had a bunch of kids read it.
We had our grandkids and friends' grandkids go through, and we wanted to know the negative especially, as well as the positive. And kids are pretty good. They're very blunt. They're very honest. So we got some excellent feedback.
The Solomon family's book, called The Stardust Mystery, is available on the website thebeamer.com. But that project turned out to be just the beginning.
So he wrote a book that would try to make a fun story out of it, which they liked, but not nearly as much as a game that they wanted to go back to play instead of read a couple hundred page book.
One of them went, well, I don't want to read all this stuff, you know. And another one said, this is pretty cool, but, you know, I want to do something that's more fun. The book is fine, but we want a video game.
They loved the book, but they also said, hey, in the book, you've got this virtual reality website where the characters can sign on to, and they can go anywhere and talk to anyone. We want you to make that, too.
So that's how we got into the video game business.
That got us started writing a proposal to the National Science Foundation to create the game that goes with the book.
Fast forward from that grant request to the National Science Foundation to January 2018, where Sally, Peter, and two of their staffers from the Beamer were on site in Las Vegas for CES 2018 at Eureka Park Marketplace.
The premise of the game, the premise of the series of the games, is we have this time, space, and dimension traveling machine.
Brian Weinberg is director of software development with the Beamer.
In this game, they start off, they're seeing the Big Bang. They follow Stardust that was once in the body of Albert Einstein and the last T-Rex without realizing what that is, but it's atoms.
This first episode of the game, called Mission KT, takes players back to the Cretaceous period, Brian says.
It's just like with any game, you play a game, you get a skill, as you get better at the game by practicing more and more. Well, the skills that you are practicing are all based on scientific concepts or math concepts.
Let's sit down in our imagination and play this game right now. What happens and what do we do?
Well, it's a four-player game. Each of the characters, and they are the characters from the book, each of the characters in the game represents one of the four people playing the game.
If you're playing with four different avatars, one of them can do pictures, one of them can freeze the animals.
So there is an explorer, and the explorer can take photographs. The scientist has got the ability to make clones. The guardian can do a time freeze.
I think one of the exciting things for the kids is like, oh, I spotted a dinosaur. And how are we going to get around them? Well, we can freeze them.
And the navigator, which is the fourth crew member, can go up into the cosmic egg, which is always flying above, and she can look down on the field below and put down markers.
They have beams where the kids can put down beams to show each other in the game, okay, let's meet here. And they can run, they can jump over. So they have all these fun things that they can do in the game.
There are two options in the game. One option is the entertainment option, called the adventure option. In that option, the kids are trying to find a hidden treasure. And so they have to do these different jobs like photographing and cloning in order to get clues to where the treasure is.
If you and I sat down right now, if we were playing, what would you be looking for as your favorite part of this first episode of the game?
Definitely the Tyrannosaurus Rex. That was my favorite part doing.
Amanda Brickner is a 3D technical artist who created some of the visual elements of the Beamer.
I do rigging, animating, and motion capture for the video game. I got to learn so much about the T-Rex doing the game and making him walk and everything that he's my favorite dinosaur.
And the T-Rex may just become a favorite of some teachers as well. Peter explained the second way kids can play the game.
In the educational option, which is called the discovery option, the kids have a discovery plan for a lesson on atoms are the building blocks of all things. They would do an analysis, chemical analysis of a dinosaur, and then another dinosaur, and then another dinosaur. And what would they find? They'd find a pattern where all the compositions are the same for all the animals. And it would ask them questions. What is the pattern? And what do you learn from that?
While the Beamer is a brand new video game, Sally and Peter are no strangers to running a small business. Sally says they opened their original company in East Hartford, Connecticut in 1980. The Beamer, though, is a relatively recent project.
We started the book in 2014. In 2016, we had won the phase one from NSF. We started working on the game. We worked for a year on the game, then wrote the phase two proposal. And then in September 2017, we won a phase two. And so now we've got a staff. We're working with the University of Connecticut. We've got 20 people now working on the game.
How did you first get involved working with them?
Peter and I worked on another project together. Actually, Peter is an investor in a business that I'm involved with. And when he came up with this idea, he said, this is what I want to do. Do you think you could help me with this? And it was just a natural. I got excited. It grew from there. There were lots of other people that we've brought online.
And about half of them are students from the University of Connecticut that are in the game program as students at the university, and this is an opportunity for them to be interns.
I first was recruited from a class, actually, that was for making video games. So they brought me in. They're like, okay, do you want to start by making props? So I made some of the trees at the beginning. But they're like, well, we could be using you somewhere else with your skills. So now I'm doing the rigging. I make them move, I talk, I make them walk.
I'm primarily working on the back end of things, what you don't see on the front. There's the AI that helps people answer questions. I'm working on tools for teachers to grasp concepts that kids are learning or not learning throughout playing the game, things that would be skills or based on science that you might not see with somebody who's filling out a sheet of paper on a question and answer thing. But when it comes time to actually execute and use those bits of knowledge, it shows up in the game because they don't seem to be progressing beyond a certain point.
During Eureka Park, Brian, Amanda, Sally, and Peter made designing their video game look easy. But they all admit creating the world of the Beamer involves some challenges.
One of the things that we ran into was having an interface that would work for teachers and be simple to use to create questions and answers that they might want to include, but offer a robust, limitless option of things.
We use motion capture, which is you take a person, a human being, you put them in a special suit, and you put them in front of a few cameras, and whatever they do, the computer will follow. So someone waves hi to you, the computer will wave hi to you.
We had an underwater scene, and I said, I don't think it's going to work, because number one, you're looking and you're seeing blue, they're going to think it's the sky. Peter said, you really think so? I said, yeah. And then our two techies said, yes, this is not something that they thought was going to be good either.
You wouldn't expect the things that are hard to be hard. And the ones that you expect to be hard oftentimes are easy once you start getting into it. I can't predict what it is.
What have been some of your best creative challenges as an artist?
Definitely would be doing facial animations, facial motion capture, because that's a little bit of a different process than doing a body, because there's you can't put a mask over your face and expect that to work.
As a part of the games, we have a system we've created called Expert Avatars. This one happens to be Einstein, but it could be anybody.
The visual effects of the avatar, Einstein originally, and I said, you know, I know it's an avatar, but you gotta make his facial expression more real, you know, so kids will think that this is more of a real person.
Avatars add a fun element, and players learn without realizing they're learning.
What we wanted to do was, let's say the kids playing the game and they wanted to know what's going on. It was sort of like our phone a friend that you had, I forgot the game show.
Can I have a lifeline or whatever?
Yeah, can I have a lifeline? Exactly. And so we built a system that would allow them to ask our expert, whoever that expert is, in this case it's Albert, a question.
In fact, one of the questions that players get to ask Albert Einstein, why is your hair so messy? No spoilers here. You'll just have to check out the Beamer and see what he says.
The website is called thebeamer.com or thestardustmystery.com. Both will lead them to a place where actually there's a preview copy of the book is downloadable, and it will have information on when the game will be available. The first publication of the game, it will be free, and that should come out in March.
Meanwhile, Sally says the Beamer has already passed the test of an extremely tough critic.
Our 10-and-a-half-year-old grandson was like, it's okay, because he's, of course, been raised on video games and a lot of, you know, with shooting and action. So you can't do that for an educational game, but we can freeze a dinosaur. You have ways of getting around the dinosaur. So once we were able to put these into the game, now the 10-and-a-half-year-old's friends love the game.
What was your best moment with your tough critic 10-and-a-half-year-old grandson that let you know that video game is going to work?
Well, he and a friend were visiting us down at the beach, and they were playing with each other, and, you know, finally Troy came out with, wow, this is really cool now. And his friend, who he referred to, you know, Grandma, he is wicked smart. And Alex was like blown away. Oh, Troy, this is really cool. I mean, he went crazy with it.
And teachers may just love it too. Peter offered some suggestions for the educational mode's possible use in classrooms.
The way the teachers would interact, they could customize their own discovery plans, and then they can get data on what the kids are doing in the game. And this doesn't need to take class time. The kids can play at home if they have computers, or go to the computer lab in school and play. And so the teacher could do a simple introduction in class and then let them play at home, and then assign maybe reading in the Stardust Mystery book.
somebody who wants to do history, let's say, we could do a future one where they go back to the days of the Renaissance. You know, why not? We could design this to do a lot of things.
What about going forward here after March? What are you going to be doing here with the Beamer, and how are you going to be expanding with the next episodes of your games?
Well, number one is to get episode one out. That's where the concentration is right now. Once that's up and running, and the commercial version, I think, comes out in March, and the one for the teachers with all the bells and whistles, September is our goal for that. Then after that, we will then be working on the episode two.
The next one that we're developing is actually the human body going inside. It shrinks, the ship will shrink, and you're traveling through the human body.
So right now, we can't spread ourselves too thin on doing, you know, 100 different things. So get it out there, get people to really love it, get the parents to see, hey, this is great. Our kid can have fun and learn something.
But learning something isn't confined strictly to those who play the game. The Beamer team shared some of their favorite lessons and resources for fellow innovators.
Number one, if you have not made yourself available for the SBIR program, you must do that. It's a wonderful, wonderful program.
The SBIR program to which Sally is referring is the Small Business Innovation Research Program, run by the National Science Foundation. You can find more information on the SBIR by going to seedfund.nsf.gov.
And National Science Foundation has their educational area, other areas, and it's a great way for a small business with no money to get a good idea. And if they think it's a good idea, they're going to be behind you 100%.
If you've got a great idea, it can be funded. You just have to persist in writing proposals to those agencies.
Simple and easy is usually finite, where we're trying to make it so that it can do a variety of different things.
And then going forward, the biggest thing is to interact at a place like this, where we've gotten three very good recommendations from people who weren't necessarily going to be working with us, but they said, wow, that's a great idea. I know someone. Here's a name and number. Contact them.
Making contacts with other people in the field has been a very important part of the success.
So you must network.
What would be one resource that you really liked? You mentioned National Science Foundation, but in addition to that, that you might recommend to fellow innovators, anybody who's writing, or anybody developing a video game?
Well, certainly I would ask to access the NSF. There's no question that they have been terrific in supporting. But also other agencies like NASA or the Department of Education are also places that where one can get help in funding.
NSF has been terrific, and to get what they call their phase three, you have to get $1 million funding on your own for them then to give you another $500,000, though, to take this, because they want to see this go to market and commercialize.
What's a resource you would recommend to fellow artists who are creating animation, and let's say they've got to get some expressions in there that look realistic? They're not going to have an easy time.
I would say definitely your face is your best resource. If you need a character to be smiling, you want to be looking at yourself smiling. You want to be getting those facial structures, you want to be getting those muscles moving. You want it to look realistic, and there's nothing more realistic than your own face.
What's one of your absolute favorite stories from working with the Beamer?
I like the people that we work with. There's a lot of people that are really exciting and excited about creating things that are fun and can teach kids. It's very different than my usual IT stuff that is geared towards businesses. It's geared about fun.
If people could only get one thing from you as an innovator about innovation, creativity, and making a difference, what would you want them to take away?
Persistence. If you've got a good idea, it will evolve into something good. You just have to be persistent in pursuing it.
As a non-science person, it's been a wonderful ride and experience. And the main thing when you're working with a group of people, be open and listen to what other people have to say to you. Do not be locked into a rigid idea, which sometimes a lot of the heads of companies do. listen to your staff, listen to the young people. They are creative, they have great ideas. Listen to your advisory boards. Like, we have advisory boards with teachers on them and, you know, financial people. So you need a family who can help you.
The main goal of this is just to make it so that more kids can learn more things in spite of themselves. I have two kids. I know what it's like. There's a lot in today's modern world that distracts them. There's a lot of shiny, fun things that are keeping them focusing on things that they probably should be focusing on. If they're going to be playing games anyways, why not make it something that has a positive influence on them at the same time?
I think if there's one thing to take away, that would be to do it, no matter what it is. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be really cool. It's going to be innovative. Try your best. Don't give up halfway through.
You and I have been listening to some of the creative minds behind The Beamer, a new video game which, as Brian says, teaches kids science despite themselves as they're having fun. Dr. Peter Solomon and speech and hearing therapist Sally Solomon are the co-creators of the game along with their family. And in addition to Peter and Sally, we've heard Beamer staff members Amanda Brickner, who's a 3D technical artist, and Brian Weinberg, director of software development at The Beamer. You can find a preview copy of the Solomon's book, The Stardust Mystery, along with information on the first episode of the Beamer video game on one of two websites, thestardustmystery.com or thebeamer.com. Again, when the first episode of the video game becomes available, by the way, that first episode is called Mission KT, downloads are going to be free of that first version. Once again, those websites are thestardustmystery.com and thebeamer.com. And that concludes this edition of Over Coffee. Thank you for listening. Subscribe to Over Coffee through our website, twomaverix.com. That's twomaverix.com, twomaverix.com. And you can contact us at twomaverix@gmail.com. The music you're hearing is royalty-free production music provided by Pond5 at pond5.com. I'm Dot Cannon. Here's wishing you a cappuccino day.